We're delighted for your presence and trust that the things that we have to consider this evening will be a benefit to each and every one of us. Want to talk to us tonight about a passage of Scripture that talks about fruit bearing. In John the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 6, Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean." Now, the word clean and the word prunes here are essentially the same word, from the same word group, meaning the same thing. So you're already clean, or you've already been pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Jesus, with this analogy, continues to teach the same principle that he's taught all along concerning his disciples, and that is that discipleship essentially involves us sacrificing our lives. Matthew 16:24-26, the one who loses his life will save it, and he who saves his life will lose it. Colossians 3 talks about our life is hid in Christ. In other words, we are the product that we have become because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this case, he describes the relationship as a life-giving relationship. We receive sustenance from our relationship with him. And so, the big picture here is obviously about bearing fruit. But what I'd like for us to just take just a few minutes tonight and talk about is the idea of how do we understand how we bear fruit, and then understanding just what the fruit is that we're bearing. I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about the idea of fruit bearing as is taught in the Scriptures. I'm not suggesting that I know something no one else knows. I'm simply suggesting that we ultimately tend to think the bottom line and everything. You know, somebody asks you how the ball game came out, you want to know the score, the final score. Tell me the final score. I don't want to know how they played, I want to know the final score. And so sometimes we talk about fruit bearing, we want to know how many people have been converted, how many people have been taught the gospel, and who has obeyed the gospel as a result of teaching and so forth. Well, that certainly is fruit that is born. But that fruit, if we try to get to that fruit before we bear the fruit Jesus talks about, then we're going to fail in our efforts. So I want us to recognize, first of all, John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says to him, "One who is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit." And then in this text here, he says, "One who is a branch is connected to the vine." In other words, he's a branch of the vine. We're his disciples. We are branches of the vine. And then in Galatians 5:24, a text we'll get into later in the lesson, he says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. So this is the pretty standard picture, as we indicated to begin with, that Jesus portrays of his disciples. Now, over in Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 11, the comment is made this way. And that text, as you know, is one that talks about the process of becoming alive in Christ Jesus because of our crucifixion of the old man by the method of baptism. And so in verse 11 of chapter 6, he says this, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So all of this then leads us right, maybe around in a circle, but to the same point, and that is that life comes from Jesus Christ. The life that will continue beyond this life comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we consider that, as we recognize the source of actually who we are even, and how we survive and how we live, then let's look at some indicators of this, if you call it, legitimate descendancy from Christ. Okay? Now in our text, back over in John 15, look at verses 3 and verses 5. You are already clean or pruned or trimmed and ready to be productive because of the word which I have spoken to you. Then skip down to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now this gets back to that point we always make about our life being hid in Christ, about losing our life and gaining the life that He gives. When He says that without Him, we can do nothing. If I decide on my own, I've got a better plan, I've got an idea, I've got something that's going to work better than the traditional plan that the church has always, and individuals have always followed by getting their instructions from Scripture. I've got this grandiose scheme that's going to work. It's not going to work because it will become separated from the vine. It will not be attached to the vine, and therefore it will not be alive. Now, I could come up with this mega church of people who are swept off their feet by fantastic preaching. Y'all are probably susceptible to that too, aren't you? But anyway, they're whatever situation you might imagine, but all of that would be gained. The great big building that was full of people that are happy and enjoying the presence of one another would not be connected to the vine. They would not be spiritually alive, because they would not have been connected to the vine. They don't have the source of life. And so good fruit is dependent upon the vine, you see. We can't be fruitful without being connected to the vine. And our fruit, whatever we bear in the way of fruit, is an indicator of whether we're connected to the vine. Over in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verses 33 through about 35, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, he's in the midst of a very, very tense, difficult discussion with Pharisees who are telling him that he's been telling him such things as he's doing these miracles by the power of Satan. Okay? He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. So this is the point Jesus makes there is a mirror, if you will, of what he says in John 15. That is, out of the heart comes the fruit. And the fruit is going to be good fruit if the branch is attached to the vine. But it's not going to be if it is not. In other words, if it comes from my heart, originates with me instead of originating with Christ, then it's not going to be good fruit. And so in Philippians, the first chapter, Paul then makes this statement about fruit. And it's somewhat generic, but we'll get there we're heading in that direction. But in Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9 through 11, he says this: "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." So the fruit of righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Here we go again. The branch is attached to the vine. And that's the source of the fruit that is pleasing to God. And so in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So again, if we're going to bear fruit, we're going to be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, which is going to be because we are attached, branches attached, if you will, to the vine. And so Jesus then helps us to use some common sense in our own judgment as we observe the fruit we see before us by people and in the world and even in the church. He says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 15, and this, again, is Jesus comparing good fruit to bad fruit, telling us how to recognize the difference. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." In other words, we can't produce bad fruit and say, "But I'm a good tree. I'm a good tree." No, no. If you're producing bad fruit, it's because you're a bad tree. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." Now notice, this is reminiscent of our text, John 15, because what happens to the unfruitful branches in John 15 is what happens to the bad tree here. It is destroyed by God. It is not pruned to prepare to produce more fruit because it's producing bad fruit. It is hewn down and thrown in the fire. And he follows that up with that famous text we quote so many times: "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so again, here he is connecting good fruit with Jesus and God. That's the source. That's the source of the good fruit, and it's the source of our conduct if we are producing good fruit. There's a passage in Luke, the 13th chapter, that is interesting along this line. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, reads like this. "And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, 'Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even rise? Or why does it even use up the ground?' And he answered and said to him," now that's vineyard keeper. That's the vineyard keeper answered and said to him, Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer, and if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." Now here he is teaching a principle about fruit, and also teaching a principle about long-suffering and patience that he has in trying to allow someone to become fruitful. But the point is that if one bears bad fruit, or if one bears no fruit, it's indicative that he is not connected he is not receiving the life that the branch should receive from the vine. A lot of things kill the branches and stop the fruit from coming forth. We have trees in our yard, we have bushes in our yards, and sometimes they get infected with insects or whatever that are detrimental to them, and it destroys them. And what we do with those is we cut them down and we plant something else there because that is unsuccessful. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying concerning his disciples, that when they become unfruitful, when they bear bad fruit or no fruit, then the logical answer is, what value are they to the Lord? What value are they? We can come to this building every time the door is open, but if we're not bearing fruit, we are a branch that's going to be cut down, cast into the fire, and destroyed. Now let's talk about, now that we know all about the fruit and Jesus' attitude toward it, let's talk about what fruit is. What is it? When Jesus talks about bearing fruit in John 15, 1 through 6, is he saying that each Christian should have a ledger and you should keep the list of the names in that ledger of the people you've converted? Is that what he's talking about? Is this a numbers game? Is this a productive game from that standpoint? Or is it productive from another standpoint? Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I want to begin reading with verse 22. Now, when I begin reading this, I want you to remember that Jesus told Nicodemus that one who is born of the Spirit is spirit. And in this text we're going to read, he talks about one who belongs to Christ has crucified the flesh. So we're talking about spiritual conduct here. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, he says in verse 25. So, what is the fruit of the Spirit? And I've always made this point, and I hope it's a valid point, but I want you to consider it at least, that he doesn't say here, fruits of the Spirit. He says, fruit of the Spirit. So I don't have the option to say that, well, I'm not too good at this patience and kindness thing, but I've got some other fruits of the Spirit. No. If you cannot develop patience and kindness, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit isn't a list of items. The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, and it produces this in us because we are connected as branches to the vine, and therefore we are productive as He is. We produce what He provides us in the life that we receive from Him. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And he follows that up by saying that the way you achieve those is that you crucify the flesh. The fact of the matter is, for me to be effective as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to go away. I have to leave. I have to get out of the picture. Because when I'm in charge of the picture, Jesus Christ is not. And so that's the reason he uses that expression, he who loses his life will save it, and he who saves his life will lose it. Because if I save my life, I'm saving the life that I prefer, that pleases me, rather than the life that pleases. But if I lose my life and allow my life to be hid in Christ, then I'm now living the life that He leads me to live. In other words, I'm suddenly productive. I'm receiving this life as a branch. I'm receiving this life from the vine. And I'm productive as the vine is. I produce what the vine produces. And this is what Jesus produced. He produced love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things are the fruit of the Spirit. And therefore, the fruit is borne by those, as we mentioned already, have crucified the flesh. Look at Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And here he says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And so what has happened is that I have now become a branch of the vine. I've become a branch of the vine. In fact, even if you wanted to carry this analogy a little farther, you could go over to Romans 11 and read Romans 11, where he talks about the Gentiles being the wild olive branch that was grafted in, and the Jews being the natural branch that was cut out because of their rejection of Christ. And so I have been grafted in, if you will, as a vine to the branch. And because of that, I have ceased to produce the fruit I would produce. And I have begun to produce the fruit that I receive in this life that I get from the vine. I have become like the vine. And therefore, I live because of the vine. And then I produce what the vine produces. You know, like we've talked so many times before. You know, the grapevine doesn't produce something other than grapes. It produces grapes. We produce after our own kind. So our ability to produce, as we've indicated, comes from Him. I want to read just a few passages here, and then the lesson will be yours. Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 10. "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The life that we receive from the vine as branches. And then in John 14, 19, he words it this way when he's talking to, you'll remember the situation here, he's talking to his disciples as he's preparing for his death, resurrection, and ascension. In verse 19 of John 14, he says, "After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also." So again, we receive life, see, from this vine. And then, of course, in John 15, 4, it talks about the fact that we have life through Him. This really occurs, and we know this, but really occurs as a result of this thing of reconciliation. We talked about being grafted in as a wild olive branch. We have been reconciled from being a plant of our own, producing our own fruit, whatever it may be. We have been reconciled, that is, made friends again with God. We've been brought close to God again through Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, then, we become productive. We become bearers of fruit, the kind of fruit that Jesus bore. Now, I want you to notice something in the book of James, and then we'll close the lesson. In James, the 1st chapter, verse 22, a passage you're acquainted with, says, says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, we're going to passages now that are encouraging us to be what we claim to be. In other words, if we're going to be a branch of the vine, be a productive branch. Be connected to the vine. Be an example, if you will, of the vine. Be true to the vine. Bear the fruit that the vine bears through its other branches as well. And so in the second chapter then, verse 14 and 17, he gives an illustration of being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. He says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So this idea of being productive, bearing fruit, does carry with it some action on our part. For us, if you go back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and for you to demonstrate love, for you to demonstrate patience, for you to demonstrate self-control and kindness and all of these other things, for that to be who you are, so that is the way your life is lived, then you will be active with those things. Being kind isn't just it's not a state of mind. It's something about us that when we see someone in need of kindness, we grant it. We give it. We care about other people. And not just... I fear that there's a tendency for brethren to become so much, we are so committed to studying His Word and intellectually comprehending the message of the gospel. And that's a good thing. But we're so committed to it that sometimes I believe we get to thinking that the only way I should have any concern about anybody else is about their soul. Well, people who are not people who are connected to the vine, people who are not alive in Christ Jesus, recognize kindness in different ways than that. And so it is important for us to realize that, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, about this idea of correcting brethren who are in error and correcting them with gentleness and firmness and gentleness, sound doctrine and gentleness, combining those two together, that's what the Lord did and with everyone. He never sacrificed the truth, but He never shied away from helping anyone He could help. And we shouldn't either. So we need to recognize things that the Lord did. Not that it should teach us to alter the organization of the church or the work of the church in any way. That's not what I'm suggesting here. But Jesus is the one who fed people because they were hungry. And He said, they need to be fed first, and then they need to be taught in a situation. When we're in our individual relationships with people, and they have material needs that we can supply and help them with, we ought to do that, no matter if they're a Christian or not. We ought to do those things, because those things are the product. Now, the fruit is love and kindness. Understand, that's what the Scripture says the fruit is. The action, then, is when you see somebody and they need a coat because they're cold, or they need food because they're hungry, you give it to them. Because you are kind and you love people. See? That's the way it works. And that's the fruit that Jesus says that we will bear if we're connected to Him. Maybe those this evening who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you're separated from God by sin, and that's the only thing that should separate you from God, and if you've never obeyed the gospel, then you need to do that. You need to respond to His gospel call, and you need to repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you've done that, and you have since become separated from God, then you need to be restored. You need someone to help you see your way back to the Lord. We hope we can do that. We encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song. Been selected.